And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pots that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quickly, bring the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Father, thank you for this story, and thank you for just showing us what your heart is for us. And I pray, Father, that as we think about this passage, think about you, Lord, I just pray that you would help us to understand the Father's love for us and what it means for us to be fathers. So thank you, Lord. I pray for myself. I pray for all of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So happy Father's Day. You know, if this is Father's Day, we have to have some quotes, right? So here are some quotes. And there were many. I had somebody send quite a few to me. I picked up a few that I thought you might like. So this is from a photographer. She says, any man can be a father, but it takes someone special to be a dad. Huh? Difference between father and dad. And then some from a basketball coach. My father gave me the greatest gift anyone could give another person. He believed in me. And then the last one. Who's 17, 18 years old here? Of that age? Just a three. Okay, a lot of the seniors are not here because they are at the crew conference. Okay, this one is for you. When I was 18, I thought my father was pretty dumb. After a while, when I got to 21, I was amazed how much he had learned in 3 years. Okay? Yeah. So, you know, and I'm sure we've all gone through that, right? Whether and you can appreciate that. Okay. Have you ever, you know, been placed in a spot, been asked for, to make a decision on something? And it's so difficult. It's something unexpected. It's something maybe even unreasonable. And you think about it, it's, you know, to answer no is also not an option. To answer yes is also not an option. It's really in a dilemma. How do you have the wisdom to answer or address a request that's really, you feel that there's no right way to answer that, right? And last night we had our cell group meeting, and in fact we were talking about, it was a totally different topic, we were talking about, we were going through the book of James, and we were in chapter 1, and this was talking about, you know, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, and we were talking about listening, and I don't know how happened it got to this thing about how do you, you know, how do you be wise in handling, you know, family matters or things where sometimes there just seems to be no good answer, right? So I know some of the classes had the prodigal son this morning, and they talked about it. And I know the prodigal son is a story of the son who asked for his inheritance, went away, squandered it, as you read, came back. It's a story of Israel, right? Going away and how, you know, God welcomed them back and the relationship. I want to kind of look at the story from the father's viewpoint, right? So, what did he just get asked? He got asked something that was unexpected, and that was actually very unreasonable. The son asked for what? The inheritance, right? And what's an inheritance?
by definition, you get inheritance after the person who owns it has died, right? That's why it's called an inheritance, right? Was the dad dead? No, the dad was alive, right? And so here was the son asking, you know, give me my share of the inheritance so I can use it and go away, right? So it's not only unexpected, it was actually unreasonable. It's actually very disrespectful, right? And what do you think? Do you think the father knew the son? I mean, I don't know how old the son was. Maybe he was in his late teens. Of course the father knew the son. The father knew the younger son. The father knew the older son. Did he think it would turn out well? I'm sure he knew it wouldn't turn out well, right? He just knew, right? If you give him the inheritance, what's going to happen, right? I'm sure everything the son did didn't surprise the father, right? So what's the father got to do? And I'm asking, you know, fathers, mothers, have you been in that situation, right? You get asked something, right? And what's the answer? There's no real right answer, right? It's just difficult. In the Malay language, there is a term it's called serba salah. And what it means is, it literally means everything wrong. It means that it's like catch 22. Any decision you make is probably going to be wrong. And you feel that situation, right? You are put in a situation where there seems to be no right decision, right? And I think we have to say that as fathers who have been put in that situation before, right? It's so difficult to know what is the right answer. And of course, we know in this that the father gave the son his money and he went off, right? But the point it makes is that we've all been there. And in the cell group, we heard about how parents struggle to this, right? And on a child's side, on a child, that young son probably knew there's not a reasonable request, but he was pushing the boundaries, wasn't he, right? He wanted to ask for something that really wasn't his right to ask for, but he didn't care. He wanted it because he wanted to go his own way, right? And so he pushed and he pushed and he pushed and he pushed and he asked, right? And for a lot of parents, it doesn't sound like our kids, right? They're pushing the boundaries and sometimes they're asking for something that doesn't sound totally reasonable, but you've said no so many times, so what do you know, and the relationship is fractured. Kind of, what do you do? It's hard, right? Okay, think about that. In the meantime, I want to let you hear from some sons and daughters as they talk about their parents. And we're privileged because some of the folks here have agreed to share, and we'll have Tom start it off, right?
Hello again. So I express myself better when I'm writing. So excuse me if I'm basically reading this to you. This is my testimony about my relationship with my father. The year is 2011. I'm 25 years old, recently come home early from a mission trip to China due to some poor decision-making on my part. I won't get into too much detail, but I had confessed my sin, subjected myself to the recommendations of the Christian organization I was currently working with, and found myself smack dab in the middle of Michigan at a retreat center for missionaries and pastors who were in need of counseling. And let's be honest here, who isn't in need of counseling? With all the pressures that missionaries and pastors go through, they especially have no real good reason why they shouldn't seek help. So there I was, sitting in a comfy chair, spilling my guts to a relative stranger, talking about my relationship with my parents. And by the way, it's interesting how many problems later in life are caused by issues with parents while growing up. So in my humble opinion, it's definitely worth looking into early. So here I am talking about my parents, and everything I say is about my mom, about how she made me feel like I could never live up to her expectations, about how she never truly took the time to listen to me and talk with me instead of talking at me, about how isolated and lonely I felt because of her constant judgment. The list goes on, and I would have kept going, but then my counselor said, "Tell me about your dad." My instinctive reply was, "Oh, my relationship with my dad is fine. There's nothing wrong with it." My counselor nodded knowingly and said, "Okay, tell me about him." That's when I sat there for a full minute in silence, thinking about my father and what I could say about him. Slowly, a horrible realization dawned on me. I did not know my father at all. Now imagine me sitting there, wading through some of the ugliest parts of my life, and all of a sudden I step on this landmine. I did not know my father. I know it may be hard for some of you to understand, but this obvious truth had been repressed to a degree that I was completely blind to it until that moment, and it broke me. To be clear, I knew his name. I knew he liked to eat fruit. I knew he loved to play ping pong. I knew he worked really hard to be a good pastor. I knew he was respected by a lot of people. I knew that he loved me, and I knew that he was my father. But I didn't know what drove him. I didn't know what he aspired to. I didn't know what made him want to have children. I didn't know what made him want to become a pastor. I didn't know why he loved God. I didn't know who he was. And because I didn't know who he was, I struggled a lot with my own identity. What was I to him? What did he think of me? What kind of man did he want me to be? Although my father was physically there for me my whole life, emotionally and spiritually, I felt lost and alone. My father and I were imperfect beings who made a lot of mistakes, did a lot of things wrong. Communication has always been a two-way street, and neither of us seemed like we were familiar with it. Fortunately, God had plans to redeem our failures, and during the next year of me working through these issues with a Christian psychiatrist, my father sat next to me, participated in the sessions, and tried his best to express himself, even though his father never did it with him. Even though it felt strange and awkward and forced, even though it went against every bone in his body. And not only did he sit through every session with me, he also spoke candidly about it in his congregation. All judgment be damned. He and his son were going through counseling, and it was hard. It was time-consuming. It was expensive. And it was good. My father and I are still imperfect, but by God's grace, we are communicating to the best of our abilities. We're saying, "I love you." We're hugging. We're sharing and being vulnerable with each other. We're taking the time to check in and pray for each other. It's a beautiful thing. All that to say, please consider on this Father's Day, do you know your father? And do you know your father? Our relationship with our earthly fathers can often give us insight on our relationship with our heavenly Father. And even though our earthly fathers can fail us, we have a Father in heaven who is perfect. A father who knows us and all of our faults, yet still loves us. A father who pursues us no matter how far we run and embraces us no matter how much we stink. A father who will prepare a feast for us simply because he is overflowing with joy when we come to know him. Thank you.
Hello? Okay, it works. So today I just want to share about my father for a few minutes. And I don't know, my testimony's kind of different because I improv, that's me. But my father's always been there for me ever since I was a child. I've been blessed with a really loving and supportive father. And as long as I can remember, he's been working long hours, coming home late in the evening, being at work all day just to support us. And I did nothing to deserve this love, so I thank my dad so much for that. And he's always so supportive of all of us, and I've only remember one occasion in my entire life where he's yelled at me. He's so patient and kind with me. And then he always has advice or wisdom to impart on me. And I'm a pretty independent guy. I have a lot of trouble asking for help, but whenever I need it, he's always there for me and give me advice on school, whatever pursuits I have, or spiritual life, or how to be just a good man. And I look up to my father for support and how to better myself, because I want to be a man like him who can lovingly support a whole family and never ask for anything in return. And with all of the memories we share and everything, I hope that, you know, while I may not have the deep connection, like emotional, spiritual connection that, you know, is desired, because you always have to grow in God and you never can never be satisfied, that I love where I'm at right now. And I think what I want to say next goes for all dads, but I feel like it's a lot harder to say I love you to a father, to anyone else, because they do so much for you, and it's really hard to express that. And more common for moms, which I don't say that enough either, but I guess I just want to say that I love you, Dad, and happy Father's Day.
I remember when I was 13, around 12, 13, my dad has always been a businessman. And you know, years and years ago, I think that was long time ago, he would go with sheep, you know, merchant ships, and it took months for him to go to Hong Kong from Singapore. But everywhere he went, he always sent back a postcard. And that touched me because I always felt he remembered me. He would address to Lisi Ui. And that, although he was never around, 8 months out of the year, he's out of the country. So only my mom was at home. But I always felt that I was very close to my father, because when he was in Hong Kong, I would receive a postcard. When he was in South Korea, I would receive a postcard. It's like, you know, wherever he went, I always felt that he remembered me. And because of that, I always felt very, very close with my dad. And I remember one time, being a teenager, I had low self-esteem, and then I had a dog at that time, and he was outside, and the neighbors were scolding the dog. And my dad was standing beside me, and I was asking my dad, is it because they look down on us? Is that why they're scolding our dog? And then my dad said, no, because our dog was making a nuisance of himself. And so little things I've always was able to share with my dad. Anything under the sun, anything that bothers me, I was able to share with my earthly father. And because of that, I believe that helped me in my relationship with the Heavenly Father. And although my dad is still in Singapore, last year when we went back, I saw that he was getting older. And so, you know, KS and myself said we need to go back more often, because one day he's going to be no longer with us on earth. So that is my testimony of a dad who was physically absent, but always felt emotionally supported. Thank you.
So I hope from there you get a sense of, you know, how important fathers are. You can see it's not easy, you know. They may be present or not, and the connection and the, you know, Tom, you know, how they decided to work through it, right? And you know, kudos to you, kudos to your dad for going through that, how important it is. And let me go through this and I'll try and pull some of these threads together. So back to the story of the dad, right? Now, in this case, we know how the story ended, right? In many of our cases, we still don't know whether, you know, decisions we made, how it's going to turn out. So for us, you know, we think we made mistakes, we made terrible decisions, right? You know, and being a dad is overwhelming, right? You're expected to. I always felt a lot of pressure because I remember, you know, my mom telling me, and take it for what it is. This is the culture of the time and all that. She said that, you know. She said that you've always got to work hard because you're the breadwinner. You know, it doesn't matter what your wife, even the mom is, but for you, the dad, you're the breadwinner. You always have to be the one bringing the money. So you feel a lot of expectations. You got to do all of that, provide all of that, you know, be a good father. And sometimes it's overwhelming. We don't necessarily have the skills or the emotional makeup to do it. We may not have learned it from our parents. We may not have good role models, and we fumble and mumble our way through fatherhood, so to speak, right? And it's difficult. And sometimes you really feel that you think you're not a good dad. Or in fact, something in your spirit says you know you're not good, that you aren't a good dad, right? And it's hard sometimes to rise above that. What do you do? How do you, you got issues with your self-esteem. And I just want to also share. Normally, our tradition is that Mother's Day, you know, one of the, like, Pastor Matt or something will pray, right? One of the fathers will preach because it's mothers, right? So you talk about it. And vice versa, it's Father's Day, you get a perspective from the mom. She actually, I'm doing Lisi's job. She was supposed to preach, right? So she said, you know, hey, you know, ask me, she said, Kes, do you want to preach on Father's Day? And my first reaction is no. Then, so she didn't answer for a bit, right? I mean, she said, and after she said, why not? Then I thought about it. I said, why did I say no? I said, no, because I don't feel I've been a good father. I you know, how can I stand up here and be a hypocrite and talk about Father's Day when I don't feel I'm a good father? And then so you left it at that, right? And so she prepared the sermon, right? Or she tried to prepare the sermon, and we talked about it. Then she asked me it again, and I thought, yeah, I mean, we're not perfect, right? We're not. And so when you hear that, you hear that voice in your head saying, you're not, you know, you're not been a good father, or you're not, you know, you've done a bad job with your kids, look how they turn up, or whatever, or, you know, you're always making the wrong decision. So let me ask you, whose voice is that you're hearing in your head? Whose voice is it? When you hear that, when you're hearing that condemnation, whose? There's always one way to tell, right? And you tell by the effect it has on your spirit. If that voice is you're hearing condemnation, and is trying to beat your spirit down, that's from the father of lies. That's from Satan, right? Because he wants to bring you down, right? But if you're hearing that and you feel convicted, that's the voice of the Holy Spirit, right? Because if you feel that, yeah, it may be that you have not been a good father, but that conviction is God saying that I don't want you to be like that, right? The song that Tom gave, you're a good father, he's perfect in all his ways. And that's the truth, right? And so if that conviction, if you're hearing, you've not been a good father, but that's a conviction and you feel something in your spirit that, yeah, that's true and I want to change, God help me. You feel an uplifting, that's from the Holy Spirit, right? Because God doesn't want you to remain like that, right? But so when you hear that, understand, if you hear that and you feel condemned, that's not, God doesn't condemn, right? God says that to bring you up, right? So you can always tell whose voice is that, right? And it's important that we need to know that. Because there's always a second chance, and that's why I titled this sermon Second Chance or Second Chances, right? And you look, we know the story. After the son, you know, lost all his money, did everything, came to senses, and he rose and went, Father, you know. The father had a second chance, right? To mend his relationship, to see the son again, right? And you look at the Bible, it's full of stories of second chances, right? Look at Moses, right? He wasn't supposed to be alive. He was put in that boat. He was saved by the Pharaoh's daughter, and what more? His mom became his wet nurse, right? He got a second chance. What happened to him later in life? He killed that Egyptian and he had to run away, became you know, a shepherd 40 years in the Midian wilderness, and then God called him. He got a second chance and became, you know, the leader of Israel, took them out of Exodus. Joseph, what a brat he was, right? Nobody liked him. Yet God has purpose for him, second chance. And what about us? Think about us, right? What does the Bible say? Romans 5, Paul says, right? Through one man, all have sinned. Adam, right? We had the sin nature in us because of one man's sin, right? So we had that character of sin throughout. But what's our second chance? The Bible says that through one man's obedience, Jesus Christ, many will be made righteous. So we ourselves, ultimately, we had that second chance. And that's the same. God is the one that always gives us second chances. It's not because we are deserving. It's because of the grace of God. And he doesn't want us to be as the way we are, right? Making mistakes, but to rise up and continue to be the fathers he's called us to be our role. And it's a step-by-step process. What Tom shared about going through with his dad through that period of understanding each other, sacred counseling, it's a step process. But they took that step, right? And by God's grace, they went through it. I came across a sermon that had this, and I really liked it. The days are long, but the years are short. What does that mean? When you're bringing out the kid, the days are long. In fact, the minutes are long, right? The seconds are long when you're having the argument, right? It's long. You're doing it in and out, and you're butting heads, right? If you have got a difficult relationship with your child or whatever, or as a child with your dad. It seems like it's interminable, right? It's one argument from the next, right? Okay, I'm going to say this, right? I have this thing, okay, and wives don't feel offended, right? It goes like this. The woman always has the last word in the argument, right? If you have the last word, that's the first word of the next argument. So it's like that. So it's like you're always butting heads all the time, right? And so it seems the days are very long. But from another perspective, years are short. Time flies by very quickly. Time just goes in a blink of an eye, right? Okay, I'm going to embarrass my kids. I see Josh is here. David, hi David. Okay, that's David and that's Josh. Okay, Josh is now a senior in high school, and then David there is a senior in college, right? That's Joshua, that's David, and that's Sarah. And this was 15 years ago, right? And they're having so much fun. I can remember that. But you know, if you ask me, that memory is just like a day or two ago. And now they are a senior. Josh is a senior. David's a senior. He's looking for jobs. He's going to be working, right? And he's at home and we love it because, you know, we know that at this time, it's not often that he's going to be back home. At some stage, maybe he's going to get a job and he's going to be away from us. We don't know. Josh is not going to be in Texas, so we won't get to see him that often, right? And sometimes it puts perspective, right? You know, why do we fight with our kids? Why do we have that? The days are long, but the years are short, right? They go in the passing of an eye, right? So sometimes when you are kind of arguing and all that, you know, you have some perspective, have some grace, because before you know it, you know, you won't have that chance again, right? So, you know, be intentional as a father, spend time with them, and again also as a son. You know, Lisi talked about her dad getting old, and it's the same. My dad will turn 90. And when I was young, I lived in fear of my dad, right? He was headmaster, and he was really strict, right? Malaysia is a British colony, so the British education system, you know, he learned to become a teacher in the UK. And the way they worked is actually following one of the proverbs from the Bible. It says, spare the rod and spoil the child. So they didn't want to spoil the child, so they definitely didn't spare the rod, right? The rod was used very often, right? I got smacked so much. I was an active kid, right? I couldn't sit still, you know. Now, we'll have another term for it here, and we have special classes, but in school, I would get punished because I was just too active. I'd finish my work early, I'd talk to my friends, and I got punished by the teacher, I got punished at home, you know, and I was, you know, so I was really left in fear of my dad and his cane, right? It was really painful, right? I was outwardly a good child, let's put it this way, by fear. And so he wasn't a person I loved. I didn't, but I became a Christian, so I knew that, okay, respect, honor your father. I knew he was working. He was not very demonstrative. I mean, his dad, they grew a culture where there was no, you don't
physically show signs you don't hug and all the rest. You don't. That's not his culture, right? But as time went on, it's interesting, right? And the other thing, I also, you know, I remember as a young adult, you know, in one of the churches in Malaysia, at one stage, I realized that, okay, I had to forgive him, right? Inside for what, you know, and I realized that I had held resentment against him, right, for all the time I got punished. Sometimes I felt he was wrongly punished. He was punishing me because he was angry, right? And I realized what? Because sometimes I would punish my older kids at anger. That's why I said I didn't feel I was good for that. I didn't punish them because they did wrong. I punished them because I was angry with them, right? And it was not the right way. Even though they might have deserved punishment, it was not the right way to punish them. And so, you know, I looked at it, and when I was getting smacked with a cane, I always thought it was because I don't remember what I did, but I always associated with my dad being angry. So anger equals what? And so it was like, you know, kind of remember what I did, you know, but I definitely remembered, the pain and the anger. And so I had to forgive him. And maybe for some of you, that's the first step, right? Do you forgive your dad so that you can be different with your kids? I'm not sure what it is, but if it is, there has to be some healing, right, for that, because it does. And I think it changed, you know, I tried, I've always prayed for him, you know, because that's what you do, right? You know, pray for your family and all that for many years. And as I got older, and I got older, our relationship changed, right? And, you know, he came to Christ in his when he was much older, and it was because of that. And we're quite different now. You know, I would never have thought of hugging him before, but I do now, right? And I look at him now, he's so frail, and it's into his independence. He's in a home now because he can't be independent. He does want to be independent, but he's forgetful. He'll go and he'll forget where he parked the car. Strangers will send him back, you know. He lost one car, he bought another car, and then he lost both cars, you know, and then they found that car, and then found the other car. And now we've got two cars, we don't know what to do because he can't drive, you know. So it's, and then we put him home because otherwise he wanted to drive. One time they locked the doors to home because they found him outside. He was at the bus stop waiting for the bus to take him to town, and they managed to catch him before the bus came, you know. So we laugh, but it's you know, he enjoys so much being with us. And when you hear him tell about his childhood growing up in Malaya, he was a young teenager during the Japanese War, and life was so difficult at that time, you know, during the Japanese occupation of Malaysia. You kind of understand, right, and all of that. But I'm really grateful at this chance. And so, you know, again, so I do want to try, and I'm thankful that my work allows me to go back to Malaysia, so I spend time there, and I try and spend the weekends with him so I can spend time with him and have that relationship that I didn't have. But I don't want to have that kind of relationship with my kids when I'm that old. I hope I have it earlier. So, you know, the point is that the days are long, but the years are short. Make the most of it, right? Before you know it, you know. I'm glad to have this opportunity with my dad when he's that old, but it would have been wonderful if we had that relationship earlier. So don't, you know. And you say that, yeah, that's all in good, but I just can't get out of this anger. I just can't, you know. I've made, you know, our relationship with my kids are fractured beyond repair. They hate me, you know, or whatever. And maybe it's based on, you know, whatever it is, you know, that's happened in the past. In a way, what's in the past is in the past. But how do you go forward, right? It's really not by our own strength. We have to do it by God's strength. And like I said, through healing, through understanding God. And we can have the encouragement. I put some verses here because this is God's desire, right? He says that in 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that with unveiled faces we behold the glory of the Lord, and we're being transformed into the same image, the same character. So as we walk with Jesus, he's going to transform us more and more to his image, right? And the other part of that verse says it doesn't happen overnight. We transform to his image, and as you know, we go from glory to glory. It's progressive, right? You don't change instantly from being one thing to a fantastic father. It takes time, it takes steps, right? And then the disciple was asking Jesus, show me the Father. And I just said, Philip, have you known me so long and you don't know? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So if we walk with Jesus, we let him speak to our heart, he's going to change us, because if we know him, we know the Father. He's going to change the image, the character of being what a good father is, right? And he's the one that told people, God is not somebody to be feared like the Old Testament, and you know, you worry about doing the right things, otherwise you get hit with a bolt of lightning. Jesus said, Abba, Father. He has a relationship with the dad, right? And he said, this is the kind of relationship we need to have.
So it's not, you know, so it's my plea to you that you know, don't, it may be true, it's difficult being a good father, and we all have made mistakes. The question is, where do you go from here? I remember in my office, during one of the, they sent us for, you know, training and different kind of things, and one of the training was on leadership training, and the guys are, and leadership, it's not just positional, because sometimes you are a manager, a supervisor, you've got positional authority, you've got authority to other people. But they also want to try and train you to be a leader in what you do. A leadership is not necessarily position. Leadership is behavior. And one of the things the person said that stuck with me, even though that was more than 10 years ago, he said is, a leader is taking action where you know action needs to be taken. You see something that's wrong with something, you take an action. That's leadership, right? And I think for fathers, my plea to you is, you know, take leadership, take ownership, right? Don't remain where you are, do something. For those of you with great relationships, with your dads, with your sons, praise the Lord. You can always go from there. You can also help others who do not have that relationship, maybe because they never had a relationship with their earthly dads. You can help them. But for those of us who have made mistakes and are wondering, remember, God is a God of second chances. Don't remain where you are. Get healed, walk with God. Take that step. It's not easy, but as you take that step, God will help you, right? Because that's what it says. He wants us to be a father just like Him. He wants us to be transformed into His image. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You've shown us what it means to be a good father. And that is, we look to You, we look to Jesus. As we walk with Jesus, we begin to know His character. As we know His character, we in fact know You, Lord, because Jesus said that those of us who have seen Him have seen the Father. So thank You, Lord, for Your promise. As we look to You, Lord, we behold Your glory, Lord. We are being transformed into Your image, Lord, from one degree to the other. And so I pray for all of us, especially for the dads, Lord, that You would help us not to be satisfied to be where we are, but that, Lord, we would walk with You, we would look to get healing for where we are hurt, Lord, so that You can help us overcome, Lord, what has been the past. And I pray for Your grace, Lord, that for those of us with difficult relationships with our children, Lord, You bring healing into those relationships, Lord. That those relationships can move forth, Lord, they can grow, can blossom. So thank You, Lord, that we don't do it alone, but we know that we can do it in Your strength. So we thank You, Lord. And both those of us with fathers, Lord, we pray that You help us to appreciate our fathers, You help us to deepen our relationship with our fathers and to spend time with them. So thank You, Lord. We thank You for this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.